The way we view reality, what is true and what's untrue, is called our worldview. Where did everything come from? Who are you? Why are you here? What went wrong? And what can be done to fix it? How do we know which way is true north?
Your worldview is incredibly important. That's why we're doing this series, True North. We need something in our lives that we can trust in to guide the way. And we're doing in this series, the point of this series is to show how the Bible provides a comprehensive worldview that answers all of the big questions that we have in life. And your worldview is important because it's how we understand reality. It's how we understand who we are, others are, God, the world, all of it. It's how we make sense of the world. It's one of the core things about us. And every worldview has to answer five basic questions. And that's what we're gonna do in this series. Four parts, five questions. First question is, where did everything come from? Look around this world, right? How did it get here? Where did it come from? Question two, who are you? I mean, who are you? At your core identity, who are you? And why are you here? What's the purpose of your life? And then finally, the couple others are, what went wrong with the world? So we know that this world isn't as it should be. What happened? How do you explain that? And then finally, what can be done to fix it? All right, the Bible gives concrete answers to all of these questions, but there are other worldviews at play that answer these questions very differently right now. Being taught in our schools, on the media, all over the world, things like Marxism, secularism, all right, postmodernism, other religious views, all adding to a very confusing time. And right now, more than ever, right, we need to know what's true. We need a true north. It's not just these big picture items either. It's the little stuff at home. There's a lot of confusion in this world right now. Right? This whole COVID season, the last 18, 12 months, the world's changing so fast, all this information coming at us. We've got racial tension, we've got economic tension. Right? There's so much confusion around things like gender and sexuality, both of which we're going to cover in this series. There's also things on the home front. I mean, marriages are struggling. You know, jobs are being lost. We're raising the most anxious generation in the history of our country. Mental illness. Where do we turn? Where do we turn for answers right now? And we're saying the Bible provides clear answers, clears out some of the confusion. We're saying God can be trusted in the midst of all this uncertainty. The last few weeks, we've been dealing with the question, where did everything come from? And the Bible says, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And we trust there is a God who exists outside of time, and he created everything in the universe. Our God did this. And so a biblical worldview, what we're saying is it must be rooted in the belief that everything was created by God and that he alone is worthy of worship and trust. And that's what I want to talk about today. That second part. Our God is worthy of worship. Nothing else is worthy of worship other than our God and our full trust. Let me start this with a question. Have you ever had a moment in life where your heart's been captured by beauty? Where you've just been in awe of creation and it just, had one of those moments? A few years ago, I went to the Grand Canyon. And I didn't get there till into my 40s. So how many of you have been to the Grand Canyon and seen this thing? Wow, a lot of you. Okay, you're related. This is great. And so I thought it was hyped up. People are like, oh, it's a spiritual experience. Wait till you see the Grand Canyon. It's just, your jaw is going to drop. So I'm kind of like, is it really, you know, is it really that great? So it's hyped up. And so I'm kind of preparing myself for a letdown. But I had this great day, two friends, we had an awesome day hanging out. And then we got to the Grand Canyon, kind of near the end of the day, sun was shining. All right, so it's starting to set a little, the sky's clear, temperature is perfect. And I walked up to the south rim of the canyon and I saw this. Whew, had me a little moment. I didn't have the words. I was just like, all I wanted to do was go, Lord, you're amazing. Whoo! Like, this doesn't disappoint. It's incredible. And I didn't do that. There were people all around, so I did one of these. Oh, God, you're great. You know, had me a little like, right? Woo! Yes! You know, I just wanted to shout, but I didn't have the courage. Should have. But, and it's not just those moments on like the rim of the Grand Canyon. You probably have too. I get caught off guard by the beauty of God's creation in my everyday life as I just go about it. A few years ago, I took my little daughter Finley out for a date night, and I took her to Skate City over in Kimberly. Regular, average Friday night, and we're out skating around. We had this incredible dinner, and then took her out. We're skating. I got a little tired, so I went and got a drink, and then before jumping on, I just stopped and on the side and watched her go around the rink a few times, and then some cheesy song comes on, probably Taylor Swift, I don't know, but I got all emotional. I'm like, you know, it's like, there's my girl, and I'm like, oh. And then she sees me. I think she's like, oh, I think what's going on with him? And she just goes like this. Oh! And I lost it. I'm like, oh, my heart was just bursting with love for my daughter. I was overwhelmed with gratitude that God blessed me with that little girl. And she calls me daddy. And I just couldn't hold it together. And so I'm sitting there at Skate City, just tears rolling down my face, looking crazy. And I'm like, I don't care. God, you are so good. You ever have a moment like that? Where your heart's just captured by the beauty of God's creation? Like a sunset steals your breath, or the fall colors just grab you and stop you in your tracks. Those are moments God says to us. He's saying, come to me, I am real, I want you to worship me. And when we experience those moments, we are filled with something called awe and gratitude. Awe and gratitude, that's what worship is. And when we feel it, we want to worship the thing that captures our heart. And all of us are hardwired by God to worship, and we're meant to worship Him. And all of creation declares the glory of God and reveals His character to us. This is what the scriptures say. Psalm 19 says this, without words, listen, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all creation and their words to the ends of the earth. If we stop and slow down and observe creation, it reveals Him. And it reveals not just that He exists, but it teaches us about His character. It shows us who He is. And that's what the scriptures say. In Romans, Paul, which we all should spend much time in Romans, we should read this over and over, it's incredible, but he starts his argument out for the goodness of God in Jesus Christ with this argument. Romans 1:20, he says, for His invisible attributes, that is His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through, listen to this, what has been made. And as a result, people are without excuse. What are we without excuse to do? Worship Him. And trust Him. And His creation declares His worthiness of it. And so I want to spend some time today talking about what creation declares, the attributes of God that are obvious in creation and in the Genesis account. And this is where science has been really helpful. A lot of times we feel like science and faith don't mix. Look, science is really helpful in understanding who God is and His incredible creation. The more we go into the bigness of space, right, and the tininess of matter, the more it just reveals who He is. And technology makes this really helpful. So we're gonna have a little fun with this today. I'm gonna spend some time talking about His character, what we learn. And the first attribute revealed obviously in creation is that our God is powerful. He is omnipotent is the word, all powerful. Right, God, in the beginning, God said His voice created something out of nothing. Isn't that ex nihilo? Something out of nothing. On day one, He creates light. He says, let there be light, and boom, there's light. Day two, let there be a vault, and then He creates a whole atmosphere. Day three, plants, and plants grow. Day four, He's like, I don't know, how about a moon? Boom. And a sun, yeah. And then, and stars. And the universe is created in a day. And the universe is big, and it declares the glory of God. And again, here's where science has been very helpful. We can't really, I can tell you how big the universe is, but we can't really fathom it. But let's try, okay? The Earth is big, right? This is a big planet. It's a circle that's so big that you can't look in any direction and see a curve because it's too big. Now, there are some people that are arguing for a flat Earth, not a worldview we're subscribing to, okay? The Earth is big, it's round, and we know that, but it's tiny compared to the sun. The sun, you can fit 1.3 million Earths in the sun. It's that big, and that's not even a big star. If you look up in the winter sky, you'll see Orion. It's got these big, broad shoulders. One of those, big, bright star, and it is called Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse is 700 times larger than the sun. Look at that thing. The sun's just a dot. If Betelgeuse were at the center of our solar system, its edge would be somewhere between Mars and Jupiter, and Earth would be inside of it. And there are bigger stars than Betelgeuse out there. Look at that thing. And stars are small compared to black holes, and black holes are small compared to solar systems, and solar systems are small compared to galaxies, I mean infinitely smaller, and galaxies are part of galaxy clusters, and we have no idea how many galaxy clusters are out there. The universe is massive, and it's huge, and it declares the glory of God. And here's the wild thing. The bigness of the universe is all made up of these tiny, tiny building blocks that are as infinitely small as the universe is big. Get your head around that. Wildness. And just to give you a sense of scale, the universe is said to be 10 to the 27th power meters across. That's big. And then the smallest particle is said to be 10 to the negative 26th power small. Okay? These are numbers we can't fathom. All right. Now, if you were to take the middle point of that, we can understand is precisely 1 meter. Both directions equal distance. Now, if you took all the average heights of human beings, infants, babies, toddlers, hobbits, adults, all of us, right? Kidding about the hobbits. 1 meter, right? We're right there in the middle, right? Somebody says the universe doesn't revolve around us. We can go, well, it kind of does. I mean, it's built around us, big, little. I mean, just let me show you, right? To give a sense of scale to this size, let me just talk about time for an instance so you can get a sense of how big this really is. If you were to count to 1 million, it'll only take you 11 days. You could do it. You don't get to sleep, but 11 straight days. If you want to count to 1 billion, 31.5 years. Again, it's a long time not to sleep. 1 trillion, you want to count to that number? 31,688 years back, okay? 10 to the 27th power has 14 more zeros after 1 trillion, each one exponentially larger. That's how big the universe is. And God created all of it, by his spoken word. He is massive. He is powerful. I want to show you a video, give you a sense of this scale. It's called the Cosmic Eye. Check this out. It's fun. All in a day's work. Yeah. Sometimes I get the desire to give God advice. You ever do this? Say, you know, it's so-and-so. I see what's going on in their life. Lord, you ever think of saying this to them? You ever try solving the problem that way? You ever do that? I do. I'll admit it. And then I'll go outside and I'll look at the night sky and I'll go, you put all that into motion and you hold it all together by the power of your hand. And I just go, you don't need my help, do you? He is all-powerful, massive, awesome God, isn't he? How can we deny it? How does nature, and when you see that, not scream that our God is an awesome God? But not only is he awesome and powerful, second attribute I want to tell you about is he's orderly. This didn't all just happen by chance. I'm just telling you, there is a rhythm to this world, an order that only God could have put together. And I'm not going to tell you about it. I want someone else to come tell you about it. One of our elders is a retired math teacher. And he, I know you guys need a math lesson. So I got something special for you. Welcome up one of our elders, Bruce Moriarty. He's going to talk to you about this.
Thanks. Thanks, Joel. Good morning, everybody. Happy to be with you today. I have to admit, I'm a little tired. I didn't sleep real well. I was pretty anxious to get to talk to you all about two of my favorite things, God and math. Now, some of you hear the word math, and your eyes roll back in your head, but stick with me. This is pretty fascinating stuff. Back in the 1200s, an Italian mathematician named Leonardo de Pisa, so Leonardo of Pisa, also known as Fibonacci, introduced a series of numbers, and you can see them up on the screen. And they may seem like kind of random numbers, but they're actually as easy as 1 plus 1. If you look at the first two numbers, 0 and 1, you add those to get the third number. Then you look at 1 plus 1, and you get the next number, 2. 1 plus 2, and you get 3. So you keep adding the two next numbers to get the subsequent number, 8 plus 13, 21, and so on. Get it? Okay, so not only that, but if you take any number in the Fibonacci sequence and divide by the previous number, you get 1.618. So in the beginning, we 8 divided by 5, 1.6, and the farther you get, the closer it gets to 1.618. Now you might think, well, big deal, that's a number. But let me show you where God's creation has had that show up in nature. It's really amazing. Again, back to the Fibonacci sequence, that creates what's called the divine proportion or the golden ratio of 1.618 and called phi by mathematicians. If we look at a flower, the number of petals in a flower, typically a Fibonacci number. In this case, there's 5, and this one, there's 8, both Fibonacci numbers. If we look at the number of spirals in a sunflower, the spirals go two different directions, 34 going one direction, 21 going the other, both Fibonacci numbers. If we look at an aloe vera plant, the number of petals in a spiral, Fibonacci number. And if you look at what the figure on the left in this diagram, it's called a golden rectangle. And if you take the first two Fibonacci numbers, 1 and 1, we'll let 0 go by the wayside, and then you put those side by side, and you put the next Fibonacci number, a 2 by 2 square on top of that, that creates a golden rectangle. Then you put the next Fibonacci number, 3 by 3, next to that, again, creates another golden rectangle, then and so on. And every time you add the next size Fibonacci square, you get another golden rectangle. And through all of that, that creates not only a bigger golden rectangle, of which the ratio of the length to the width is 1.618, but it also creates what's called a Fibonacci spiral. And you can see the Fibonacci spiral in a lot of different areas, okay? So as we look at a pine cone, we can see the spirals on a pine cone. I challenge you to pick up a pine cone and count the spirals. Very likely, you're going to get Fibonacci numbers for the number of spirals in each direction. If you look at a seahorse, the size of the segments of the tail are in a Fibonacci sequence. If you look at a nautilus shell, every time a nautilus shell grows, it closes off a compartment, and each next compartment is in a ratio of 1.618 phi to the previous segment. It's all over the place in nature. It's really amazing. We look at a pineapple, and a pineapple, pick one up in the grocery store, count the number of spirals, you're going to get a Fibonacci number. If we zoom out a little bit, like we just did in that video, and we look at storms, hurricanes typically form a Fibonacci spiral, which then you can make a golden rectangle. We continue to zoom out, and you look at a galaxy in the shape of a Fibonacci spiral, and thus a golden rectangle. And it's really amazing how we see that in nature, and it's all over the place. Now, it's also been, for hundreds of years, viewed as a very beautiful ratio, and we see it in architecture. That golden rectangle is in the Parthenon. If you look at the Taj Mahal, you'll see a golden rectangle in the ratio of the length to the width. If you look at a spiral staircase, a Fibonacci spiral, it's very beautiful. As far as architects are concerned, a very aesthetically pleasing thing to look at. We can even look at God's design of the human body. If we look at the ear, you can see a golden rectangle and a Fibonacci spiral in the look of an ear. If you look at your arm and you measure your arm from your wrist to the fingertip of your hand compared to your elbow to your wrist, in a ratio of 1.618. I'm sorry, I just don't believe this can happen from primordial soup and random chance. This is absolutely God's order. This is God's design. We look at DNA, which is measured in a really small measurement called angstroms. And you're gonna see 34 angstroms and 21 angstroms, both Fibonacci numbers. So it's really, really an amazing thing. And I've been a mathematician for many decades. And the more I study this, the more I see God's design and God's order, and the more it makes me fall in love with our Creator. And I could go on. If you ever want to talk about it, I'd be happy to. I didn't even get to the golden angle, which has to do with how seeds are packed into a sunflower seed and how efficient that is. It's really an amazing thing. I challenge you to look it up when you get home. But in the meantime, again, it just makes me fall in love with our Creator that much more, seeing His design in everything in nature. And I really appreciate you sitting in here, hanging in for this math lesson. I'm going to hand it back to Joel.
There you go. Love it. There you go. Math lesson you didn't know you needed today. But just think of the order of God. Just the right amount of salt in the ocean for life. The right amount of hydrogen in the air. We're at the right tilt for the sun. The right distance from it for life to form. This isn't random. There was no big bang that just shot apart and then everything fell into place. We serve a God of order. He is powerful. Yes. And He is orderly, and He is also intelligent. He's so smart. Creation reveals the intelligence of God, and this is where you come in. You are a masterpiece of intelligent design. On day six, God said, He said this, "Let us make mankind in our image and our likeness," and He spoke us into existence. In the biblical worldview, humanity is the crown jewel of creation. We are the most complex thing that exists in all of creation. You see, creation started out relatively simply with "let there be light." Light happened. But on day six, it culminated in you. And you are incredible. You are a testimony to the intelligence of God. How many of you can see me up here waving my hand? Hi. You see me online? All of you out there, hi. Isn't that incredible? Not what you see, okay? Nope, the fact that you can see me, okay? Your eyes are among the most technologically advanced things ever conceived. Just these little things, 2 million working parts. The muscles in your eyes are the fastest, strongest muscles in your body. They're 100 times stronger than they need to be. Okay, do this for me. Roll your eyes at me once, like that. I know you do it anyway. I see you. Don't think I don't see you. The lights are bright, but I see you sometimes. You can do it. The fact that you can that quickly see, process information as it goes across, that's miraculous. And not only that, your eyes see 10 million hues of color. And God made the world beautiful in all of its different color and variety, and your eyes can pick it all up and enjoy it so your brain and body can go, "Wow, praise to you, Lord." And then you've got tear ducts all around your eyes and eyelids, and your eyes are kept at the perfect amount of moisture. He cleans them, He protects them, He gave all of that to you. And those same tear ducts are able to express emotion when you're sad or happy. And science can't explain how. And all of its work and all of its brilliance, it really can't figure out how that happens or why. And yet, there's something about our eyes that reveal more than just sight. It reveals what's going on in our hearts. It has a way of communicating what's happening inside of us. And every one of us can read it without ever taking a class or reading a book. Isn't that wild? Innately given to us by God. You know, I'm a little sentimental at times. I get a little sappy at things. I'll cry at movies, even sometimes commercials. I mean, honestly, it's ridiculous. And I try to hide it, try to hold it back a lot of times. And it's usually pretty good, but my family can usually sniff it out with me and bust me. And a couple years ago, I was watching one of those YouTube videos of America's Got Talent. And this little girl singing a song, and she wrote it, and it was amazing. And I could feel it coming. I'm like, okay, hold it in. But then they hype it up, and they have this golden buzzer, and one of the judges hits the buzzer, and all this stuff comes kind of cascading down, and it culminates in this big moment where she goes on to the next round, and I'm just like, and my tears are welling up, and my middle child busts me. She just throws one of those at me, and she goes, she grabs my face, and she looks in my eyes, and she smiles, and she wipes a tear and puts her cheek against mine, and then snuggles on down next to me, and I just turn into a big mushy pile of daddy. I'm like, oh, love this. I couldn't hold it back anymore. She read my heart through my eyes without me saying a word, and she was five. That's incredible. Our eyes do more than see. They reveal what's happening in our hearts, and science can't explain why. You are a miracle and a testimony to the brilliance of God. Just, I could go on and describe the brilliance of God's intelligent design through just your body, but I want to trust you understand that that's true. You are unbelievably complex and beautifully, wonderfully made. I want to end by talking about one last characteristic. We know he's powerful. We know he's orderly and intelligent, but he's also very, very personal. And you are a testimony. You are evidence that he is personal as well. He stitched you together. He made you. You, and there's no one else like you. Psalm 139, we should all spend time in this, such a great psalm, so encouraging, says, "For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. You are wonderful. I know that full well. You are somebody special. God made you in his image." Here's how you happened. All right, one cell from your mom met up with one cell from your daddy to create you. There's more to it than that. Not our subject today. But we should really cheer that little one on that your dad gave you, because that was a one in a million little fella that came together with your mom, and that little guy carried 23 chromosomes, half your dad's DNA, and the egg of your mom had the other 23, and when they came together, they formed a single cell that became you. That was a DNA strand that had never existed in the history of the world. It was unique. And that DNA strand has 3 billion characters written in the language of God to be just you. Your DNA. There's no other DNA in the world that matches you. If I were to take one strand of your DNA out and stretch it out of a cell somehow, it'd be 6 feet long, almost as tall as I am, right up to here. And if I were to just sit and read one character per second, it'd take me 96 years to read the description of you. You are unique. You are complex. Anybody ever says, "You're a complex person," you go, "You bet I am. God made me that way. And you too." And you have no idea what you're talking about. You are incredible. Here's a picture of you in 3 days. Look at this. 16 cells on the head of a pin. Those little cells grew up to be you. And right now, sitting here looking at me, you have 75 trillion cells inside of your body. If I were to take the DNA out of all of them, stretch them end to end, we go to the moon and back 178,000 times. And as I share that with you, you just had 50,000 cells die and 50,000 more born. Every 3 seconds that happens, 50,000 die, 50,000 born again, and they all create you. They're programmed by the hand of God to make you and only you. I know sometimes we wish he'd make someone else, right? He doesn't. He's only going to make you. You ever wonder why you're tired? That's why. Your body's just over and over reproducing you. You are incredible. Here's you at 8 weeks. Look at this. Oh, that little baby, little eyes, little eyelids forming. It's got a spine. It's got a heart. It's got a cute little nose. I was there once. It's gotten big, but I had a cute one once. It's okay. We can talk about it. Hands with little fingers, right? Legs with little feet and toes. I mean, it's all forming at 8 weeks. I look at that and it's hard for me to think that's not human life, right? That little baby is made in the image of God, has a unique DNA to itself, right? As followers of Jesus Christ, made in his image, as Christians, we believe that all human life is sacred and worthy of protection, even unborn life, right? Is this true? And we believe abortion is wrong because it discards someone made in the image of God. I know today that there are people in the room whose lives have been touched by abortion. No, that's true. And there might be people in this room or watching online that are pregnant right now and not sure what to do. And there's a reason we talked about VIDA today, and I want to mention it again. VIDA is here in our community, and they love moms. And they love babies, born or unborn. And they want to come alongside our community and you. If there's anybody that you know in your life that needs help right now, that could use some support, they're incredible. And I want us to support them as a church. Their mission statement, what they do is fantastic. And if you need any help, if your life's been touched in any way by abortion, if that's part of your story, we want to come alongside you, care for you, love you. No judgment. We just want to love you and care for you through that. Because we believe you've been a miracle since the moment you've been conceived. And God knows everything about you, every thought, every single step that you take, he watches, and he loves you. And to those of us who put our trust in him, he's made us a promise. Listen to what he says to us. So do not fear. There's a lot of fear in the world right now. He says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. There's a lot of people struggling right now with depression and not sure what to do. He says, I am your God. I am your God. He's speaking to you personally, and I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. See, the God that created the universe and all of its bigness is personal enough to walk with you every single second of your day. He loves you. He sees you. And he wants you to put your trust in him. Right now, his eyes are on you. He's looking down and he sees you right now. Psalm 33 says, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love. Not a great thought? The eyes of the Lord are upon you. And you know what? He loves what he sees. Okay, he loves what he sees. I know you don't always believe that. And you look back on your life, go, how could he love this? No, he loves what he sees. And I experienced that day when I watched my daughter skate around that rink. And my heart was just bursting with love for her. And I was so grateful that that little child was my daughter and I was her daddy. And I was just so filled with awe and love and gratitude. And God keeps bringing me back to that moment over and over. And he says, Joel, do you not understand that's how I feel about you? But I feel so much more love for you than you could ever imagine. And he feels the same way about all of you. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. He loves you, and he wants you to put your trust in him and believe that you are made in his image personally. If you have any love in you, it's because he loved you first. And hear this, you were personally made in his personal image, and he loves you personally. Our God, creation screams this. You declare this. Our God is powerful. He is orderly. He is intelligent and he is personal. And if we really step back and we look at all of it, he is also good. He is very, very good, right? Our God is good. And if we stop and we pay any attention to that whatsoever, how can we come to any other conclusion? And again, this is what Romans tells us. This is what the Bible declares. I'm going to read it again. For his invisible attributes, that is his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world. It's obvious, being understood through what he has made. Creation declares who God is, so that those As a result, people are without excuse. And what are we without excuse to do? Worship him in gratitude and trust him. Worship him. He is worthy. Now you can deny him. You can say, I don't believe that. I'm going to listen to some other idea and follow that. But if you do, God's not going to stop you. But you've got to figure out how you're going to answer those questions. What is powerful enough to create the universe and its vastness as we've seen today? What brings order to that magnitude? How are you going to explain that? The intelligence of just you and the personal reality, your heart being shown through your eyes. How do you explain that other than God? You can choose to deny it, which you know is obvious through creation. But there's a warning that comes in the Bible, and I want to share this with you. Right after he talks about the obviousness of it in nature, he says this, Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Now, other worldviews deny what we know is true, that God is the creator. At the foundation, other worldviews that are in your brain being taught to you teach something very differently. Secularism worships human intelligence, not the intelligence of God. New spirituality, all that kind of thing. Look, it worships creation, not the creator. And postmodernists, I mean, they don't know what to think. So they just worship themselves. And they deny that there's a God who created. And as a result, they're foolish. The answers they give for these questions are ridiculous and they make no sense at all. And their hearts become darkened and they walk away from the Lord. To deny God as a creator is to deny God exists at all. But if in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, then he sustains it all. He holds it all. He created you. He is intelligent. He is brilliant. And he holds it all together. And he is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of your trust. See, God doesn't need anything from you. He doesn't need your worship. You're just designed to worship only him. And there's nothing else in this world worthy of your worship than him. There's nothing else that you can put your trust in that will carry you through this world. Trust in him alone. And creation declares the glory of God. We're going to end with a worship song today. And this song declares the answer to the question we've been talking about this whole time. Where did everything come from? It came from the Lord. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. He is orderly, he is intelligent, he is powerful, he is personal, and he is good, and he is worthy of our worship. And so I just want to take a moment as we end this whole section of this first part of the series and declare that truth to him in this next song. He holds it all. Let's worship. I'll come back up and we'll close this out.